The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Very good. Thanks, Andrew. Good morning, church. Well, I remember Dr. Tony Evans, that was at a movement day gathering, telling the story of how he and his wife were stuck one time in New York City during a blackout. It was 2003. They were at the airport of LaGuardia, stuck in line, and just nothing was working. They were waiting, you know, they could see the conveyor belts weren't working, computers weren't working, and they were waiting for just hours and hours until finally, over the loud speaker, I don't know how they got that working, but over the loud speaker came the announcement, "Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but LaGuardia is closing down. There's been a power failure over the entire New York City." And so there were just thousands and thousands of people that were stuck, they were stranded, and they were looking for hotel rooms at the last minute, looking for places to stay. So Tony's wife got onto their travel agent to quickly squeeze them into whatever room they could get. And he retells a story of going from the airport, driving to the hotel room, and just looking out, and just everything was black. There was no power. It was just complete darkness. They got to their hotel and it was just lit up by candles, and they had to sort of manually check in because, you know, the computers weren't working or anything like that. And then they were led by torchlight to their room. And they got into their room and unpacked, and they were getting ready for bed when Tony's wife, because the aircon wasn't working, decided to open up the window and get some fresh breeze in. And so she pulled back the curtains, and as she pulled back the curtains, right opposite their street was the Marriott Hotel, and it was completely lit up. And they said to each other, "Well, we are clearly in the wrong hotel right now." So, of course, they went across the street to find out what was going on. And I love what he said. He said, "We went across the street because we had to find out how there could be this much light in this much darkness." And there was music playing. People were outside eating, having a good time. To rub it in, the TVs at the Marriott were running CNN coverage of how dark it was in New York. And so Tony found the someone, and he had to ask that question. I think he found the assistant manager, and he said to them, "I don't understand how everything is dark. The houses are dark, the airport's dark, the streets are dark, everything is dark. How is it that you guys, the Marriott, are lit up with this much light?" And the manager responded, "Yep, people have been asking us that all day. And it's actually very simple. When we built it with a gas generator." And so he said, "We have power on the inside that's not controlled by circumstances on the outside. We've got something that's working on the inside that overrules what's not working on the outside." And Evans links that story, of course, to us as believers, to remind us that, you know, sometimes we can look around at the world, we can look around at the nation or the city or even our families, and we could see a lot of darkness. But we're reminded that we have the light of Jesus Christ living on the inside, that our calling is to be a light to our city and an influence to the circles we run in. The light we carry should not be determined by the external circumstances around us. Well, as Andrew introduced, the fact that we've been talking about over the last few weeks how important cities are to the heart of God. And all cities are important to God, but we've been looking at how, you know, important Toowoomba is to the heart of God. That's where we live, that's our city. And so for us, we want to pray and we want to hear and we want to look at, you know, each city has a call and a plan and a purpose for God. And so we're praying for Toowoomba, we're asking God to reveal his plan and his purposes and to bless our city that we live here in Toowoomba. Well, we know that the Lord has given us a very important prayer to pray, which is something that here at Rangeville we pray each week. And as we pray that prayer, it actually reveals God's heart and his mission and his plan for our city where we're living. This is what we pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus told us to pray and actually ask for heaven to come to earth. We're called to ask for the kingdom to come to Toowoomba. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. That's his mission. That's his plan for us to see the kingdom of God, for heaven to come right here where we're living, to Toowoomba. And so as we think of the Lord's Prayer, we actually see what Jesus' first strategic step in actually seeing the kingdom of God come to Toowoomba. The first step that he says is pray. Pray. That's it. So simple. Pray. And then this is how you pray. This is the sort of thing you pray. But the first step we see that Jesus says in order to see the kingdom of God come, in order to see heaven invade earth, the first thing that his followers need to do is ask for it. Is to pray. And so that's what this series has been focusing a lot about. What it means to pray and partner with God as he releases his kingdom to Toowoomba, as he blesses our city. You know, it's been said that when man works, but when man prays, God works. And I like that. And, you know, it reminds us of the fact that the coming of the kingdom of God to Toowoomba is ultimately a move of God. It's a work of God. We are so God-dependent. This is not something that we just sort of figure out a clever strategy or we just do it in our own strength. We are dependent on God. It has to be a move and a work of God. And so that's what we've been unpacking, what it means to partner with God, to connect with God as we pray and bless our city. And we're going to continue this morning looking at another practical component of what that can mean like for each one of us in our lives. Now, when we think of the Lord's Prayer, when we think of Jesus' mission of releasing his kingdom to our city, of course, we're reminded of the mission he's given each one of us, and that is the Great Commission that we read in Matthew 28. We read Jesus telling these people to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But he says before that, this, and this is something for us to really reflect on and grab hold of. Before he gives part of the Great Commission, he reminds his disciples this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Therefore, you go. And so it's important when we're talking about prayer for our city to understand authority and the heavenly realms. And here Jesus is actually highlighting these two different realms that we can think of, the heavenly realms and the earthly realm. And Jesus has ultimate, he's declaring that he has ultimate authority both in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realm, and on the earth. And then he goes on, and that's part of the Great Commission, to then go on to explain how we see the kingdom of God come to the earth. Now again, when we think of the Lord's Prayer, we see these two realms that Jesus speaks of. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So that's our prayer, that's our mission, that's our hope. Now, when we think of this concept in the Old Testament about God's presence, we see that the main thought was that, you know, God's presence was in heaven and we're on the earth. You know, God's in heaven, humans are on the earth. Yes, there are times where God sort of specially shows up on the earth. Particularly, we see in the temple, there's this meeting place between heaven and earth. But the large thought is, you know, God's in heaven, we're on earth. And there's this cry, as you read the Old Testament, there's this cry that goes throughout from the prophets and the authors of this desire, this prayer to see God's will come to the earth, God's presence for heaven to actually come down to the earth. Here's just an example of where we see that in Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, tear open the heavens, God, and come down. That's the prayer of Isaiah the prophet. That's the belief, that's the hope, that's the expectation of what Isaiah was looking forward to God doing. And you know, we see what Jesus Christ came to do, and his mission is so tied up in this theme. When we fast forward to the New Testament, and particularly the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we see what Jesus does and some of the things that take place to see this fulfillment begin through his life. Just have a look at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open. It's that word rendered. Heaven's torn open. and he saw the Spirit of God coming down. It was descending like a dove and alighting on him. It rested on Jesus. And so here we actually get at Jesus' baptism this glimpse of that prophetic promise being fulfilled through Jesus Christ, of heaven coming down to earth, of heaven invading earth. There's something powerful that was shifting in the heavenly realms. Something powerful was happening as Jesus got baptized. This cry of the prophets for heaven to come down was taking place and being fulfilled through the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that we gather around this morning to worship. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who, as we understand, was fully God, yet fully human. Heaven and earth meeting. Just have a look at this same theme that we see picked up in the Gospel of John. John highlights this to us in his very first chapter. He says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, and I sort of think maybe he chuckled at that. He's like, well, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? He says, you will see greater things than that. And he added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, referring to himself. I won't go into too much here, but you know, a few weeks ago, as Sam opened this series, he mentioned about Babel. I call it Babel because it's where everyone began to babble. But whatever you want to call it, Babel. We read that story in Genesis 11, the story of Babel. And you know, as we read that story, it reveals to us the inability of humans to be able to actually get up to heaven. There's an inability of humans that in our own power, in our own strength, we cannot reach heaven. But then as we keep reading, we get to the story of Bethel. And I think Babel and Bethel are compared. You see, Bethel is where we get Jacob's ladder. And that's that story where we get this image of God actually reaching down to us, heaven reaching down to earth. See, Babel reveals our inability to reach God, but Bethel reveals that God's heart is to reach down to us. Bethel reveals God's plan and his heartbeat and his mission to see that heaven would ultimately reign on the earth. And so we see too in John, John's very clear to highlight this, that right from the beginning, Jesus is actually proclaiming that he is the ultimate Jacob's ladder. That through him, heaven comes to earth. He is the one that bridges that gap between God and humans. Through Jesus, heaven and earth collide. So as we think of what was going on in the life of Jesus, we think of his baptism. We understand the fact that we get this image of heaven being opened up, of heaven coming down, the Spirit of God coming down and resting on Jesus. And then look at what the very first thing that happens after Jesus' baptism. What do we read? We read where Jesus then is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And what takes place there? He meets with Satan. There's this power encounter where Jesus encounters Satan and he overcomes all the temptations that Satan throws at him. He won't bow down and worship him. He engages in the spiritual realm. He's looking at that heavenly realm stuff. And it reminds us that spiritual battle is key. So heaven's torn out, torn open, Spirit's poured out. Jesus engages in the heavenly realms. He does spiritual warfare. And then the next thing he does, he goes out and he finds disciples. He calls them to follow him. And then he continues his ministry on the earth. But it's this pattern that we see Jesus modeled and something that he taught his disciples to follow as well. And you know, for us, here in Toowoomba in Australia, we've got this Western worldview. And it's very, very easy for us just to slip back into this Western worldview that automatically gets us to look at everything in the natural. You know, looking at scientific reason and things like that. And it's so easy for us to actually forget the fact that we must deal with the heavenly realms. We must look at the whole concept of prayer and spiritual warfare if we're going to see a breakthrough take place. You know, whenever Jesus entered into a new territory or a new region, throughout the Gospels, you see time and time again, one of the first things that happens as Jesus steps into that new territory, who responds first? It's the demonic. Demons start manifesting, and Jesus deals with the demonic before he then goes on to minister to the people. Paul reminds us of this in his famous verse in Ephesians 6. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Ultimately, that's not where it is, just in the earthly stuff, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so one of the practical things of how you and I, of how we can partner with God as he releases his kingdom to Toowoomba, is we're encouraging people to pray, but to also take it a step further and actually consider what it means to go prayer walking. To walk and to pray. What's prayer walking? You probably guessed it. It's pretty simple. It's walking and praying. It's just as it sounds. It's walking around as you spend time with God and you're praying to God and you're walking around the streets, you're walking around areas of our city. And you see, prayer walking, it helps us, it does a lot of things. It helps us to actually see the area and its people through God's eyes. It helps us to be able to hear what God is saying about an area and give us some understanding of what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing and who he might be wanting to engage with. You know, we certainly should be spending time praying from our homes and in prayer meetings, things like that. But there's something special about getting out amongst people, getting out amongst the community. And that's what a lot of prayer walking is about. It's actually getting out. It's getting amongst the city, amongst the community, immersing ourselves in the culture, you know, eating at restaurants, walking through parks, seeing the homes where people live. It gives us this greater understanding of the community, of the culture, of the heart of the community, and the needs as well of our city. So prayer walking isn't just about speaking to God, although that's very important. A big part of prayer walking is actually learning how to listen to God. Prayer walking helps us direct our prayers to hear from God as to what he's encouraging us to pray for at that time. Prayer walking is not standing on a street corner praying out loud and preaching at people. Prayer walking is not knocking on doors, handing out Bible tracts and doing street evangelism. It's not any of that stuff. It's simply walking and praying. You know, I find it interesting that the Bible speaks a lot about feet. There's this strange amount of references to feet throughout the Bible, and I don't think it's an accident. For one, we get Job, the book of Job. He talks about this idea that his feet is actually dripping with butter. Dripping with butter. That's a pretty weird picture, isn't it? My feet drips with butter. But it's this prophetic language that talks about wherever he goes, there's this good influence that he carries because, you know, butter is good, right? Yeah, butter's good. I remember not long ago, my son, Simeon, we opened the fridge and there was a huge bite taken out of our butter. I don't think butter's that good, but you know, any good recipe, you've got to have, like when it comes to baking and that, I think, you've got to have butter. Butter's good. And so that's what Job's saying. There's something I carry. There's something that is anointed on my feet that as I walk, I release something special. Romans, it says, talking about believers, how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Your feet, church, are blessed. Ephesians 6, my feet are covered with the readiness of the gospel of peace. As you walk, your feet are actually covered with the readiness of the gospel of peace. You carry something special. The book of Hebrews says, Satan will be crushed underneath your feet. To Abraham, God said, go, walk through the length and breadth of the land. I am giving it into your hands. I'm giving it to you. And I just really believe, church, that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing something to us too. that he's encouraging us as people of God to actually go, to walk through the length and breadth of our land, of our city, for God is giving it to us. His kingdom, his heartbeat, his cry is to see his kingdom manifest in our city, in our land. I'm reminded as well of Jericho. You know, as the people walked around the city, it was a city that represented a lot of darkness. It was a land that God was giving to them. And the people had to walk around the city, and at the right time they shouted, they blew the trumpets, and the walls came down. You know, there is demonic strongholds. There are strongholds of Satan that as we walk and pray, God wants to see come down. I want to just share some practical tips of some things that you can do when it comes to prayer walking. For some of you, you might be, you know, very seasoned at prayer walking. You've got it all together. That's great. Keep doing it. For some of you, this concept's actually very new, and so I just want to give some practical tips of what that might help you as you consider prayer walking. Firstly, pray before you go. It's a good idea to actually ask the Lord where he wants you to go. What direction is he leading you to, especially if it's like an organized prayer time with others. But at the same time, my hope would be that as you pray before you go, it actually becomes a habit that you learn to just pray as you go. It's a lifestyle thing. You learn this habit wherever you go, through the shops, through your city, through your front lines, you're praying as you go. It's something we do by ourselves. And at the same time, it's also something that I would encourage you to consider taking someone with you. Two is better than one. You know, Jesus actually never sent someone out by themselves. He said, go with someone. Go out in twos. And we're called to be in community. We're called to work with others. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. There's something powerful about teams and communities. And so one consideration, you know, if you're in a life group, maybe life groups can consider what this could look like for them, to prayer walk together, or, you know, with partners, or just to share as a life group what they're doing. If you're a life group leader, I encourage you to consider how you could encourage a life group to pick up on this theme. If you are going to go with people, then book it in the calendar, find a free date, book it in. Otherwise, sometimes it just passes by and it never happens. Take a camera and a notebook. Your phone can do both of those things. You might notice something that you want to research further. It's a good idea to actually record the things that the Lord's showing you and revealing to you, and it's something that you can then share with your team or with others around you. It's a great idea to plan where you're going to go, but at the same time to be flexible. The Holy Spirit might prompt you and tell you to go somewhere else. This next one might sound obvious, but walk and pray with eyes open. You don't need to close your eyes when you pray. It does work with eyes open, especially if you're driving and praying. We don't want to have any crashes. But on a serious note, that's also pointing to the fact that we've got spiritual eyes and spiritual ears too. And so we're very intentional to be looking with our spiritual eyes, looking and hearing and listening spiritually. What are we picking up on? Let's have eyes open. And at the same time, we can ask God to teach us and show us and open up our spiritual senses. You know, you and I, we have spiritual senses. And God can start to reveal things to us as we walk and pray. For example, you might walk into a particular shop or a particular place, and all of a sudden you just sense the atmosphere shift. You sense this coldness, or it's happened to me where you sense the anxiety or the stress of people in the workplace. And you ask God, you know, why am I sensing this? What do you want me to do about this? And he just tells you, just release, you know, whatever he might tell you to release. Release my peace. And so that's all you do. You just release the peace of God. And so he starts to speak to you and he reveals what's going on. And that's connected in with the idea that we're observing. We're spending time in areas where people gather. We're out in the community, in cafes, in pubs, in parks, in meeting places. We're observing people, listening to how they do life, what's important to them, what's meaningful to them, what are issues they're facing. We're listening to people. We're listening for needs. What do the people say their needs are? To pick up on as we talk with people, but also, again, as we're listening to God. I went with the team. We did just a prayer walk through Grand Central. We broke up into two different groups and sort of walked around and asked God to show us anything, and we're just releasing blessings of God. And we came back to share some of the things that we were picking up on. And, you know, we both picked up on a few things. We both picked up on the fact that we just saw there was so much sickness around. It was amazing how we could just see so many needs that people had, the sickness. And also, both groups picked up on this theme of loneliness. We just felt that God was highlighting and showing us that so many people are lonely. And so we used that to then, you know, prompt our prayers of what we were asking God to do and what we were releasing in that place. So just a few more further guidelines as to ways that you pray. It's a great idea to use scripture. You know, you might read something like a parable. I think it's Mark 4. You might read about the parable of the sower. You know, a farmer went out and sowed seeds. And so you use that as a prompt. Lord, would you sow your seeds in this area? Some fell on rocky ground. You know, and you use that to pray into it. Lord, like, may the seeds not just fall on rocky ground. Would you break up that soil? And so you use that as a prompt. I was about to go for a prayer walk around this local area, and I just asked God, is there a verse you want to give to me? And he gave me Matthew 13, verse 58. And so I looked it up, and it said, it was speaking of Jesus' hometown, and it said, you know, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And so I felt God was highlighting to me that there's this unbelief that I needed to pray into and release faith. So it's that sort of stuff. It's simple. We use scripture to prompt our prayers as we listen and we partner with God. We can pray for freedom, release from oppression, soft hearts to the gospel, ears to hear, eyes to see. These are just some ideas. I'm sure there's a lot of other things you can pray for, but Jesus tells us to actually pray for more workers for the harvest, to pray for God to draw the people to his heart, to pray for people of peace. You can read about that in Luke 10, to be prepared by God in the area and found by workers, for miracles, signs and wonders. And of course, we're listening to the Spirit. We're listening to him. And you know, what I've found and what other people have found, it's as they walk and as they pray, God also whispers to them their role in the city, part of their gifts, part of how they can minister and reach out to people and what God's plan is for them to release his kingdom in this city. We've talked about blessings a lot as well. Prayer walking and walking and blessing, they're not mutually exclusive things. We do both. We walk and we bless. And so one of the acronyms that I find really helpful to prompt me as I look around at who I can bless and to give me a bit of a reminder is I use this acronym, BLESS. So, for example, you know, you might see Bob and you want to bless Bob. It looks a bit of something like this. Lord, would you bless Bob? And in Jesus' name, I bless Bob. I bless his body, that he would have good health. I bless his body in Jesus' name with protection and strength. Lord, I bless Bob's labor, his work. May he find meaning and satisfaction in what he does. May he have finances to provide for himself and his family. You know, it's that sort of thing. So we can bless people. We bless the body. We bless labor, work, finances, their emotional health and quality of life. We release love, joy, peace. People's social relationships, relationships with family and friends. As I said, we picked up on that theme of loneliness, and so that ties up in with that whole social area. And we're praying into the spiritual as well, salvation, faith, a revelation of Jesus. And so, church, as we wrap up, I do just want to encourage each of you to consider what this would look like for you, to partner with God in releasing his kingdom through your prayers, to do it privately, consider what that looks like as life groups. As Andrew said, out in the foyer, we've been putting those dots up on that map, and we've got highlighters out there, and hopefully in response to this, we would see people come over the coming weeks and highlight the streets that they've been walking and praying. And I just think, what a cool image that would be of seeing that map, you know, lit up with the entire city of Toowoomba just covered in prayer of the Lord's people. I think God is going to use that powerfully for what he wants to do. And I do want to encourage you and remind you as well, church, when you trust in Jesus, when you've put your hope in Jesus Christ, the power and the authority, it comes from Him. The power and the authority that you carry, it's like you have that gas generator living on the inside. We have power and authority on the inside that is not controlled by the circumstances on the outside. We've got something working on the inside that overrules what's not working on the outside. And so I pray that you would enjoy, that you would experience the joy of the Lord as you partner with God in praying and releasing blessings over our city. And so, Lord, that is our prayer, that your kingdom would come to Toowoomba just as it is in heaven. I encourage you as well, just as we wrap up, we like to just get people to reflect on these two questions and just take a couple of minutes. It's all good and well to hear a message, but what is it? What has God has really said to you today? What have you been learning? What have you been hearing from God today throughout this service? Take some time to reflect on that. What have I been hearing? What's the Holy Spirit been whispering to me? And then what am I going to do with that? What will I do with what I have heard? Perhaps the Lord's been prompting you as to places you can go and prayer walk. What's my response? How do I respond in obedience to what the Holy Spirit has been revealing me? Take some time just to think about that as well.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.